Hello and welcome back to the Book Marketing Tips and Author Success Podcast. This is Penny Sansevieri, my awesome co-host, Amy Cornell. And this is a show, first off, I just have to say, I'm so excited. My print book is out. The print version of, the Amazon Author Formula is out. And in 2 weeks, well, actually, probably by the time this show hits, it's a week. I'm putting out a large print edition, which I've never done of any of my books, and just decided to do it with this one because it's a good, it's good for people who want a print book. And there's a lot of stuff in there that I think would be helpful in larger format. So we'll see how well it does, but I'm very, so three editions of this book rolling out since, the 29th of January, which is pretty cool.
Crazy. Yeah.
I know it, which is really pretty cool. So, and speaking of being an author, I think this is a really timely show because a lot of you listening, kind of, you know, launched into this year wanting to publish a book for the first time. Right. And what we're talking about today isn't necessarily first-time author specific. I think those of you who have had, have put one book out are going to be listening to this podcast and nodding, and hopefully there's some new stuff in here that you haven't encountered and that we can kind of help you avoid. So Amy, do you want to take the first one? I mean, originally, and let me just tell you, this is such a funny thing. Originally, we were going to do five things authors didn't prepare for. And then we started talking in the green room and I started adding stuff to the list. I was adding stuff to the show notes and Amy's like, okay, so now we're more than five.
Well, and it's so funny because a lot of times that's how we can't help it. It's kind of how blog posts and articles are structured. Like, let's commit to a set number of tips, you know, but in podcast format, we don't have to be limited like that. We might as well just talk about all the things.
Right. Exactly. We might as well just talk about all the things. So Amy, do you want to take the first one? Because I know that you get this a lot when you're talking off.
Yes. So the first one that I wanted to talk about specifically, because it's also kind of at the beginning of all the things happening that authors are not always prepared for, is how complicated the decision can be to decide how you want to publish a book. Because we get authors coming to us all the time that want to talk about the marketing, they want to talk about the promotion, because we understand it's a lot more exciting to think about the point when people are getting your book and loving your book and all the things. But making that decision about how you want to publish really is very important. And I would say the biggest thing that we see is that a lot of times the decision is made more based on short-term goals and pros, yes, and cons versus the long-term goals and pros and cons about whether or not being with a publisher or self-publishing is a better idea or a better option for you. And so that's why this kind of falls into things that authors aren't always prepared for. It is a big decision, and there's a lot of different things to weigh in on that you need to consider before jumping in, because it can really make a huge difference in the trajectory of your career as an author.
I agree with that. And I think that what you have pointed out is it's very easy to make these decisions. Well, let me back up a little bit. It's very overwhelming. This industry can be very overwhelming. And if you're listening to this and you're like, oh my gosh, you know, hands raised, this was me, you want to just, you want to get the choice made. You want, like, okay, this publisher is going to do all the things. That's great. I'm in it. And then you get down the road and you realize that they are, you know, they're not actually going to help you promote, which most of them don't. You have limited availability for your book or whatever the issues are. We had an author actually who just came back to us after a year who was in a similar situation, right? Had picked a publisher that was really very inflexible, shall we say, and actually had to put a halt on everything and then come back later and with a new, you know, book and all the other things. I mean, it was a hassle. Basically, this author lost a year of their the life of the book because of the challenges. And this isn't always like, we don't want to say like, oh, every publisher is awful, but you really have, this is, spend some time with this. You'll be really glad you did.
Absolutely, Penny. And I think that kind of leads into the other one. And this is an awesome opportunity for to bring up some shameless self-promotion too, but reading contracts and comparing contracts and understanding what you're signing up for, no matter which option you choose, whether it's self-publishing or with a publisher, you know, just be prepared to really understand what you're getting and what you're not getting. Because that's something else too, you know, that is a whole other layer of this, not just how you're choosing to publish, but then understanding really what you're getting out of both options, no matter what you choose. And we had a fabulous review come in for the podcast about this recently.
Yes.
From a listener. And it just made my day. And it's on the website. We have it on our podcast page on our website too. But basically, I'll give the short version, even though the long version is amazing. But she essentially said that she has been listening to the podcast and she was trying to find a publisher. And she gave us multiple examples of how she was able to advocate for her needs and for what she really wanted out of her publisher because of past shows she had listened to that we had done about what you need to be prepared for when you, if you want to use a publisher. And she said, I negotiated things I didn't think that I even had never even thought about before. And it was so awesome and empowering. And I was like, this is what we want to hear when we do this podcast. But so it's so perfect that she sent that this week. And this one little, you know, this reading contracts and comparing contracts and understanding what you're getting in for has been on this list for this show for a while. So it was meant to be.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I think that the contract thing, and you said this to me this week, that you were amazed that there are so many people who will sign a contract for, you know, a long period of time with a publisher, for example, or maybe for a lot of money or whatever, mm-hmm. and not really read it or understand what they're signing. And, you know, I get it. Contracts are not fun. I mean, raise your hand if you've ever read the last Apple,
terms of service. Yeah.
Right. The terms of service. Like, who reads those? You know what I mean? And I think that one of the challenges is that we have become very accustomed to just agreeing with all the things in these, you know, these terms of service and stuff. But contracts related to your book and your career should mm-hmm. absolutely be read and asked questions. Like when we have an author who has asked a bunch of questions about their contract, I really appreciate that because that tells me that they've really spent some time doing the due diligence. But it's not something that, you know, I mean, listen, most of the time authors are, we work with a lot of business authors, but most of the time authors aren't in that business mindset where they're used to reading a lot of contracts and it can be really overwhelming.
I agree. And I'm not necessarily saying it's a Rumpelstiltskin situation where you're secretly signing away things that you're by any means, but more along the lines of expectations. I think I see that more than anything, Penny. Yeah. Not necessarily people are taken advantage of in contracts, but just that they jump into things not with certain expectations that are incorrect. You know, quite plainly, you know, they think they're getting X, Y, and Z, but also expecting A, B, and C. And A, B, and C was never in the contract, but they're expecting it down the road. And that's where we see authors struggle a lot is when you get to that point where you were expecting A, B, and C, and nobody's prepared to provide it for you. And then you're scrambling, you know, and trying to figure out how to make up for that time or for those missing elements of what you were hoping for. So that specifically, so just make sure you read your contracts, compare contracts, and really understand what you're getting and maybe what you're not getting. And maybe you need to get that satisfied through another group, another firm, another professional. Just, you know, if you have goals and needs, just make sure that those are actually in your contract, you know, and it might require working with multiple teams depending on how ambitious you are.
Right, right, exactly. And the other thing that is worth mentioning, and then we'll move on from the contract conversation, but the other thing that's worth mentioning is that when, and I used to tell authors this when they were signing publishing contracts, and I know that we mentioned this in the publisher show, regardless of the vendor that you are working with, if it's not in the contract, it's not going to happen. If a vendor says, oh yeah, we'll do, you know, XYZ, get it in writing. I cannot. And it's not because people are trying to cheat you out of what they promised you, but people forget, right? I know when I start talking with authors and, you know, I get particularly excited about a book and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is great. I write down everything. I handwrite all my notes from my consultation calls. And then those go in the proposal to make sure that, you know, everything that we talked about gets in the proposal. But if it's not in the proposal, I can almost guarantee you by the time that client, we start marketing with them, I've forgotten it. So everything right. has to be, get it in writing. Absolutely get it in writing. I think the other thing that authors are not always prepared for is, and I'm going to jump around here a little bit, Amy, the budget that you need to market a book. And I'm not saying that you need to mortgage your house at all. Although I had an author tell me that one time and I didn't want to work with them because I'm like, oh my gosh, like I mortgaged my house to be able to afford to market this book. I'm like, oh, that must be so painful. but I think understanding that you do need to allocate some money to, you know, in marketing your book, because that is an investment in not just your book, but your brand and your overall business. You know, unless you published a book just to share with friends and family, then I don't care if you have a budget. But a lot of times, and you see this a lot too, when we get authors that inquire, right? They don't really know what things cost, which I don't think is unreasonable because let's face it, there are a lot of people that are just all over the place with pricing, right?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Sometimes we're just knocked off our chairs when authors come to us and say, I paid this for that. And we're like, wait, what?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's wild out there, folks.
Yeah. But I think, you know, you want to have, and we did a show on budgeting, which is still, I think it was maybe early last year, maybe. Which is still very relevant. So go back if that's something that you're wondering about. Go back and we talk about that. Yeah. But that's a really big deal. Like I talked to an author at a conference I was at sometime last year, and this author said to me, "Well, I really only have less than $100 to spend on my marketing. What do you think I should do?" Like, I didn't really know what to say to that. I feel for you because it's not an inexpensive endeavor to get a book out there. But if you don't have a lot of money and you're not really prepared to spend it, then you should be prepared to do a lot of it yourself, if not
yeah.
the majority of it yourself.
Yeah. Do a lot of learning. And this kind of fits into, and this is another one of those kind of broader scope, 30,000, you know, foot views, but this really is a lot of authors are not prepared for the fact that becoming an author, especially one that wants to release multiple books, that is actually legitimately concerned with getting books in hands and getting lots of reviews and making some money at this, is that it really is like starting a business.
Yes.
It's not a hobby. There's a lot of, you know, Penny, you've said this on multiple shows before, the investment when you're starting off as an author is very much front loaded, just like starting a business is. There's a lot that has to be done to ensure you are making a good first impression along the way. And that is not inexpensive anymore.
Yeah.
You know, so just like starting a business, you know, you want to make a good first impression when you start getting your business out there and introducing it to people and selling your services or your goods. Same thing with the book. you know, like you're only guaranteed a first impression, and making that happen can be more expensive than a lot of authors are prepared for.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean, you know, it doesn't mean that's the only way to do it, but the runway is longer, you know? So if you're not prepared to run your, you know, being an author, like running a new small business, then you need to expect to take a little bit longer to probably reach those, you know, benchmarks that you're looking to meet with exposure and sales and all those things, because it just, you know, what you don't have in money, you have to make up for in effort and time for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's absolutely true. I think that the other thing would be, and this is also a big one. These are all actually really big things that we see over and over again. Discoverability takes time. It takes time to get people to your website or to your Amazon retail page or whatever. So I talked to an author, I don't know, maybe 6 months ago. And the author said, my goal is to sell, you know, this author had a bunch of other services and things like that that they offered. And my goal is to sell $10,000 in services in the next 3 months. And I said, well, how much are you selling currently, if I may ask? None. And there was no mailing list, and there was no mailing list. There was no real social media, anything. And that's a really hard climb, right? And the other problem with that, which is not something they, this author was very, very, very set on this 10,000 goal. It's very discouraging when you don't hit it, right? But discoverability, getting your book noticed, getting it in front of reviewers, selling $10,000 worth of product, it invariably, it takes longer than you anticipate that it will, which I don't mean that to sound discouraging, but what I'm saying is that when you're creating your goals, and Amy mentioned the long runway, make sure that you are giving yourself enough of a runway so that you don't run out of runway and wind up,
right,
you know, like the plane that ends
out of gas,
driving off the runway, driving into the neighbor's yard on accident.
Right.
You really want to make sure that you're giving yourself enough. And, you know, and then the thing about it is, though, too, is that when you approach discoverability, and when we talk about discoverability, so the umbrella, that's an umbrella term for getting reviews, getting people talking about the book, going viral, right? Everybody loves to use the term going viral. If you set those benchmarks far enough out, I can almost guarantee you, and you work hard, I can almost guarantee you, you will be pleasantly surprised. What happens is most of the time, authors expect... So Amy and I were texting back and forth. I said, you know, we should do a show on the myth of the book launch, right? So as we're recording this, my book launched actually just on Monday. The ebook launched on Monday because we record our shows ahead of their go live dates. And, you know, it's kind of funny, right? So you get really excited, you have the pre-order and all the things. And then the book launches and you realize that you still have a long way to go, right? You know, It's not this instantaneous. And a lot of authors show up at their book launch with their party hats on, which I'm a big fan of wearing a party hat, wearing a crown, whatever, for no good reason. You're always welcome to wear one of those in my company. But they show up ready for a party that doesn't actually really happen on launch day. Sometimes it does. I mean, sometimes like authors do live events and things like that, but the momentum doesn't always kick in on your book's birthday. You know what I mean? And right. Am I making sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And I, you know, this really ties in what we're talking about, right? This moment ties into the show we did in early January, How and Why Readers Buy Books, we've talked a lot about that whole process too, which plays a lot into it. So yes, like you need to be prepared to work. You need to be prepared for this to take some time. But it's also worth reminding yourself that you are only in control of so much. You know, at the other end of this is somebody choosing to spend their money. And more importantly, we say this all the time, spend their time reading your book. And so a lot of people, you know, even on the first impression, good intentions, they like your cover, sounds like their jam, but they're already reading something and they've got three other books on their nightstand. Right. So that person may come back and buy a book in 3 or 4 months, you know, when they've gotten through their TBR pile, but that's just the reality of this industry and how reading works, you know? So you could also be doing all the right things, but when the sales come through is really hard to predict. And it's not always tit for tat either. Like, oh my gosh, I did 3 promotions this month and I haven't sold any more books than I did last month, but who knows, maybe your sales will go up the following month when you didn't have a lot planned because that's when all that effort finally came through for you. So, you know, it takes time and you only have so much control over it. You can do all the right things, but try not to get too discouraged waiting for, you know, a certain return on every single thing that you do right away.
That's exactly right. And I think one of the ways to combat some of this, the silence, right, that kind of happens when you're, these pockets of silence that happens when you're out there marketing your book is to have a lot of different wheels or plates turning at the same time. So sometimes authors will say, you know, I'm just going to do this one thing and I want to see what happens from that. I'm just going to run Facebook ads. Thanks. And I'm going to see what happens with that. I discourage that only because in the majority of cases, nothing really substantial happens. Or it may happen and it might be, and then it's here and gone. But if you have a lot of different things going on at the same time, you're creating a lot of different areas for, you know, things to happen, like you're pitching influencers and you're pitching local libraries and you know what I mean? So you've got a lot of different irons in the fire, I guess maybe is a better analogy.
Yeah. You want to have a diverse marketing plan for sure, because you never know where they're going to come from. And also you're more likely to sell a book, honestly, if you catch the same people through different channels, you know?
Yeah.
If they get BookBub newsletters, but they also see your ad on Amazon and then they catch your book in a Goodreads group, or, you know what I mean? Like, that is when things really start clicking for people, you know, when you get those multiple impressions and somebody just seeing your Facebook ad multiple times, that is white noise, you know, after a while. Like, that is not going to make them any more inclined to buy the book at that point. It's really those unique impressions that really make the difference in people finally taking that next step and clicking buy.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that. Absolutely. Amy, do you want to take the next one?
Yeah. I mean, I think this kind of goes into, you know, so on top of us saying like, do everything, you also have to understand what kind of marketing is appropriate based on, you know, your genre or topic and who your readers are. Because again, you know, I think Penny and I are both very careful when we kind of throw Facebook ads out there, because for a long time, I think it's dying down a little bit. For a long time, that was like a big fad go-to for authors. I think it was appearing in a lot of groups and things like that, author groups saying like Facebook ads. And we were working with a lot of clients that are like, it's not working.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, so not everything works for everybody. Yes, there are some marketing strategies, especially supporting strategies, that are pretty great across the board, no matter what you do. But understanding who your readers are and how and why they read the kind of books that you write is really important when it comes to choosing. Definitely if you're spending money on marketing, it's one thing, the things that you can do for relatively free, that's different. Try all the things. But when it comes to what you're going to spend money on, either because you need to spend money to do it on your own, or because you plan on hiring somebody to assist you, understanding what you really need and understanding, you know, what kind of marketing is suitable for your goals as well is really important. And I think that's something that authors aren't always always prepared for. You know, they're either ready to follow and do this list of things that feels like a one size fits all, or, you know, they're ready to throw money at anything that sounds like a good, you know what I mean? Like, this sounds good, I'll spend money on that, you know? And it really is, it should be more complex than that, not in a bad way, but you need to be thinking through what really makes sense based on, you know, again, who you're trying to reach and how those people find and consume books.
Right, exactly. And I think that it's also, I mean, it's kind of like with the publisher conversation that we had, right? It's overwhelming, pointing and clicking, be like, oh, I'll just try this, feels like a really easy way to get some attention. And then you realize you spent a lot of money that didn't necessarily work. And to your point, so I'm judging a book award contest right now, and I am amazed at how many authors have misunderstood their genre, right? They think that they're one genre, but they're really different. And we're actually going to do a separate show on this, so I don't want to go too far down the rabbit hole. But part of that is also making incorrect marketing choices based on what you think your genre is versus what it actually really is. So that happens a lot, right? Mm-hmm. Authors say, well, I marketed it to XYZ and nothing really happened, when their book was actually in a different genre. And like I said, we're going to do a whole show on this because it's absolutely worth mentioning. For sure. You know,
I think, Penny, that was a perfect lead in to the pivot conversation as well.
Yeah. Do you want to take that one?
Sure. You know, and again, this is another thing that authors, you know, definitely you don't plan on. We get that. Like, everybody goes into this hoping they created the perfect product, the perfect book. But, you know, that's a one in a million. That's really hard to do, especially if you're new at this. But a lot of authors aren't prepared for the fact that there's a lot of pivoting in publishing. There's a lot of trial and error, you know, yeah. And that includes everything from, as Penny said, you're potentially being in the wrong genre, or your cover doesn't necessarily make sense for who your reader market is. You know, like if you just showed somebody on the street your book cover, what are the chances that they would nail what your book is about and where it's supposed to be placed in the market? Like, that's a big thing that we see all the time. Same thing with the marketing angles. Like you said, Penny, if you don't exactly know who you're pitching to, or you haven't really nailed down who your realistic reader market is, and we've done a show on that before too, like, there's a difference between your ideal reader and your realistic reader, you know, and you're going to make a lot more money marketing to a realistic reader than an ideal reader. And so how you pitch your book and your marketing angles and what you say your unique selling points are and things like that absolutely matter. And it's easy to not get those right the first time around, and being open to pivoting and thinking critically and going, okay, things aren't going the way I planned. You know, nothing is happening with my book. Instead of thinking like, well, everybody else is stupid, they don't know what a good thing they're missing. You know, this is one of those moments where we kind of have to look inward sometimes and think like, okay, where is the disconnect happening? You know, because realistically, there probably is a market out there for your book. You're just not reaching them in the right way.
Well, and I think that we also did a show on this. We did a show on failing fast, right? So we've all faced it. I have 23 books that I've written and published, and I've seen this on a couple of my books where I'm like, oh, I thought that cover was great, but it really didn't resonate. Even those of us in the industry who've been in the industry for a long time don't necessarily always get it right out of the gate. So you have to be prepared to pivot with all the things, whether it's the cover or the audience, or, you know, as Amy talked about, the marketing angles, or it's the more flexible that you can be with this. And I know it's hard because it's your book. Like, well, you can't tell me that my book is a, well, that's fine. But part of this, and this isn't actually on the list, but I think authors who are going to do well are very open to feedback. And Amy, this is not an invitation to email Amy for free feedback, but Amy, when authors contact us, sometimes she'll say, you know, your cover could be stronger. And it says it obviously in a very nice way, not like your cover is really awful, we can't work with you. And we've had authors who will take her. Actually, we had an author, was it last year? He took your comments to heart. We both love the idea for the book, but the cover was just not going to do this book any favors. And he went back and completely redid the cover. And I think we actually talked about this guy on our cover show that we did.
Yep.
So along with pivoting, you also have to be, I mean, part of that is also being flexible, because things are going to happen. And, you know, making those adjustments but it's not always, like I said, it's not always an easy thing to do, right? You know?
No, but yeah, just be open to it. And it's true. I am very honest with people when they reach out to us, because I view the things that I will give feedback on, I view as things that are very fixable. It may come as a shock, and it's not what you wanted to hear, but at the same time, you know, they are very fixable things in the big scheme of things. And especially if you're considering investing in marketing, the last thing we would want an author to do is invest in something that we feel has a couple of easy fixes that could make it so much more successful, you know. And yeah, I would much rather go into a collaboration with an author where we've been honest at that level versus like, oh no, everything's great, let us do all the things, and then have the reception of the book and the market fall flat, and then everybody looks around shocked, you know.
It's like, yeah.
No, that's not how we approach these things. So
yeah.
If you've ever written or you plan on writing and you get some constructive feedback, know it's coming from a very good place, and that we want to see the best for the authors that we work with. You know, that is the, and there's one other one that I wanted to touch on, Penny, that comes up, and this is more on the side of like our clients. Now, a lot of what we've talked about are people that come to us that we haven't necessarily started working with. But it is another thing that authors are not always prepared for. We try to ease them into it. If you're working with us, we try to ease into this concept. But the fact that you do have to continue promoting your work while you're writing your next book, while you're doing your day job, while you are attending to family things, needy animals.
Right. Amy's looking at me right now when she says that, because...
Oh, I am right there in that boat this week too. But truly, you really do need to continue promoting your work. That's why we talk about, you know, we have our free download for the book marketing plan, things like that. Utilize tools, plan ahead, even if it's just one or two simple things. But so many authors get caught off guard because they do a big push for the release, you know, and then all of a sudden, I'm not famous yet and I haven't made back all my money. And then it really starts setting in. It's like, oh yeah, right. This is a long game, you know, and continued promotion and exposure is absolutely necessary to start generating the kind of buzz that you need, really, to start selling books more consistently, to start getting that positive word of mouth, to start getting coverage from influencers or getting podcast interviews and things like that. You know, this is all a machine that keeps needing to be fed. And we had a client recently write to us that was, you know, a little down on some things over the past year. And I had to have an honest conversation about what's been going on, you know, because we hadn't worked with this person for a while. And they seemed kind of lost. And I had to ask, like, what have you been up to? You know, what have you been doing? Because that matters. You know, they feel like they really hit a wall. And I had a sneaking suspicion this person had not been promoting their work, that they'd been working on their next book, which is kind of where they were leading off to when we stopped working with them. And that's exactly what happened. It's like, well, I've been writing a lot, so I haven't been. It's like, well, you know, it's not the field of dreams. You know, people won't just show up because the book exists. You really do have to be prepared to keep up your promotion, even when you're busy and you don't want to.
Well, and I think, you know, in those cases, because I taught enough classes on this where I've had this conversation with authors, like, I don't have any time to promote. If you keep saying that you don't have any time to promote your book, you are not going to have any time to promote your book. Mm-hmm. You make the time, and I'm not trying to go all like inspirational speaker on you, but we make the time for things that are important to us, right? You know, like, I don't have time to do X, Y, Z. I'm like, well, actually, you do if you really wanted to. So I understand the pushback on that in terms of, I don't really have time to promote my book. I don't have time to promote my book. You do. You may not be able to do as much as, you know, some other guy that you met in your writing group who maybe is retired and does nothing but marketing his book all day long. Mm-hmm. But if you can do 5 things a week, just 5 things, right? You are so far ahead of the game. So I really recommend, and this is also where authors get hung up too, right? Don't overcommit yourself. Even if you work with us as a marketing and publicity firm, or you work with somebody else, we still encourage our authors to do their own stuff, right? Get involved with be engaged in your own success, right? By doing your own stuff. But figure out exactly what you have the time to do and then do that well. Don't take on this, you know, mountain of things like, oh my gosh, I have to do all these things, and you don't get any of it done. And then you feel discouraged. And then you're sitting there on Saturday night with a glass of wine thinking, I didn't do anything this week, and my book is just going to be awful, right? So you also have to manage that side of it too, because we can't actually make the time to juggle both and family and vacations and other commitments and needy dogs, as Amy said, high maintenance dogs rather. Well, also, I guess needy when we're talking about my dog, but you can absolutely make the time. You just have to manage be more realistic about what you really feel like you can do, right? Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you something else too, and this is not an advertisement to hire a company. When I was first in business, I really did not want to hire an accounting firm because I wanted to do all the things myself, because I'm newly in business and I can do all the things myself. And I actually hate math, like literally just like, which is sad because my dad was a math wizard. When I hired an accountant to come in and do the books for the company, I doubled and then quadrupled the amount of business that I could do, because, you know, outsourcing what you're not good at frees you up to do the things that you are good at. So I didn't mean to go all like motivational and whatnot, but it is absolutely, it's the law of the land, people. It's absolutely true.
I think that's a very good point, Penny. A lot of, and I don't care if this sounds like, you know, shameless self-promotion, most of our clients learn quite a bit from working with us.
Yes. You
know, we're not doing anything top secret. We just know how, we know what works. We know how to do it well. And we have a team to do it within a certain timeline that really helps support a book strategically. But you can learn a lot by working with the team as well. So keep an open mind about that. You know, working with a team doesn't mean you're stuck paying for marketing for the rest of your, you know, author career. If you're committed to learning some things along the way, it can be an excellent investment in your education as well.
Yeah. I absolutely agree with that. Thank you so much for tuning in to the show. This has been a lot of fun. I know we sometimes go on and on about topics that we feel so passionate about, but we appreciate you listening. I know we have a lot of dedicated, we've gotten a number of emails from people recently who have just said they really love the show and they're going back and they're binging some of the old episodes. Thank you so much for listening. We love reviews wherever you listen to podcasts. I know some sites, Amy and I were talking about this morning, some places like Spotify, they don't let you leave a review, just a rating, but you can definitely leave a review on Apple Podcasts. And we're actually going to put up a little thing on my Instagram, a little slide over, because I think iTunes or Apple Podcasts rather doesn't make it very easy to know where to leave a review. So we're going to do that. And very excited, if you have not gotten a copy yet of the Amazon Author Formula, it is up on Amazon with all sorts of exciting additions. So grab a copy and let me know what you think. Thank you so much for tuning into the show, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.